The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
I want to revert now to the discussion we had earlier with Gavin, whereby he spoke to the new governor of the central bank, Gabriel McAlouf. And basically, there was some expectation that he would relax the mortgage lending rules. These are limits where you can only get 90% of the value of the house and 3.5 times your income, except in exceptional circumstances. So, we have also been covering on this show, from politicians and others, the factor that the housing supply, both private and new and non-social and social, is maybe not going onward and upward and actually maybe going down. Well, we're joined now in studio by James Benson. He's the Director of Housing with the Construction Industry Federation. Put simply, James represents house home builders in this country, and they are saying that we could see ghost estates returning. We thought that was a feature of the crash. James, welcome to the programme. Explain this, please.
Good afternoon, Ivan. I think just what we've seen from today is probably disappointing on the consumer side of things, that there wasn't the opportunity taken by the central bank to look at possible other measures, not just to look at the 3.5% multiplier, but some of the other possibilities that would have been there for consumers that would maintain tight fiscal control, but would have leaven the opportunity for many consumers to avail of securing a mortgage and having that deposit restriction on them at the moment. I'm talking about measures such as increasing the percentage of exemptions that are available to members, to consumers on a yearly basis. It currently sits at 20%, and there was the option there to potentially increase that from 20 to hanging up to 40%.
Okay, no, I will come back to the central governor's regulations and his rigidities, but no, what's this about ghost estates? There was a meeting yesterday of house builders, I heard.
I suppose the consequence of what we're seeing, and this has been an ongoing, the rules haven't changed as we know, but this is an ongoing thing, and we've seen it from the front line, from our own members on the ground who are completing developments on a daily and weekly basis. We are seeing a huge increase in the number of available units within developments. So back 18, 12 months ago, there was reports of show houses with lines of wannabe buyers queuing up to try and buy units. That isn't the case anymore. Our own developers are seeing situations where they open up a new development, that cohort isn't there. The consequence of that is, or the reasoning behind that is, because we've a trapped cohort that are locked out of the market. When you look at the current prices that are out there in the market and the availability and the restrictions of those who want to get onto that property ladder, they're trapped out. They can't avail, they can't secure the deposits required, and they can't hit the values that are required.
So you're saying that there's houses being built in a housing crisis where we are supposed to have a supply requirement of up to 40, 50,000 houses a year. It's 20 something, the low 20s. And in that circumstances, these houses will be unsold and those estates will be ghost estates. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the current situation, and even yesterday we would have had a gathering of our own members, and in, I would say, 80% of those that gathered at that stage, and these are representatives from regional and national around the country, all reported that they had the units available within their own developments.
That are well, what areas are we talking about? Dublin?
Throughout the country, greater Dublin area, southern region, western region and the
commuter
eastern
belt?
Regions. Yes, in great, and there's reports of in situations where they're not exorbitant prices for the units, they're very reasonable prices. The issue being there and the reasoning behind it, if we look at greater Dublin area, you're talking an average house price of 386,000. When you do the figures on that, you need to have a combined income of in excess of 93,000 to secure a mortgage for that, even with the Help to Buy scheme. You go to the greater outside of Dublin, into the regions, where you're looking at average house prices 320,000. In those cases, a combined income of in excess of 80,000 is required to secure a deposit. Our teachers, our nurses, our Gardaí, they don't have that combined income throughout Ireland. So therefore, they're locked out of the market. So those units that are being constructed below the numbers that we want to see,
okay, but James,
are lying idle.
There is another side to the same coin, which is that your houses that you're building are simply too expensive because construction is perhaps inefficient, is also based on site prices that developers paid far too high a price for land. That's reflected in the unit price now. And therefore, it's not necessarily the consumer's problem. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, Barry in Kilkenny, he said, look, I wouldn't worry about the poor old householders. Surely if they, house builders, surely if they can't sell them, they'll just have to drop their prices until they are sold, until they're all ready to have enough money to just sit on them for a while. I mean, the point about it is this. Half of, you know, one side of the unaffordability is the availability of mortgage finance. The other side of it is maybe you're building too expensive houses.
Well, I don't think it'll be a case that anyone will be sitting on houses. It'll be a situation where unless the replacement value can be achieved for the units won't be built. So we're not talking about in 2020 that we won't have an increase on the 21,000 units that are being built this year. We'll have less than that because you won't expect any developer or house builder who can't recoup the cost of development to build more units. They'll have to hold back.
But if recouping the cost of development is to reflect a site cost, which people, you know, because sites became a commodity and they went up and up and up in price, maybe people paid too much for the sites.
Well, the land cost has to be built in. But even if we look at, like, land is a scarce commodity. We're not building any more land. We're working with a set value of land, or set amount of land within the country. What we do need to see, and to combat the increase in construction costs, and there are increasing in construction costs, is to hold on policy. We've had a huge amount of increase in policy and regulation over the last number of years. We need a period of a period of status quo where we can have a couple of years where industry can adapt to all the new policies, gain the most efficiencies they can, and produce the optimum number of delivery.
So are you saying these house builders, if they're having difficulty shifting the houses that are completed, the one thing they're certainly not going to do is build more houses?
Well, correct. If you can't, I suppose the whole premise of any business is that you need to make profit, and that profit would go into the new development, whether it be the cost of securing planning. And there's a large investment that goes along with planning permission in these days, and it can run in 6 years.
Okay, well, let's try and put a number on that. If we'll say new houses completions in 2019, we'll just say it's 23,000, 22. What figure would you care to put a figure on?
2019, I'd say 20,500 would be close.
20,500?
I would think close to that.
That's quite low. That's a lot lower than the government are saying. Right. So 10,000 of those are social houses, presumably. So, I mean, like, that, if people start cutting back, the number of new houses being built is actually going to dwindle quite significantly. Are you including apartments in this?
Yes, but I think one of the issues that we see with apartments is there's no viability in apartments. And this has been revalidated in a number of reports that have been done this year. With the planning, some of the issues and challenges to the industry at the moment is the planning guidelines that are out there at the moment. We have, there's laudable objectives through Project 2040 and other schemes that are there through government, which are pushing us towards more compact urban development. Now, the consequence of that is that you look for, there's a need for more, through the densities, you need more apartments and duplexes. Now, one, there's not really an appetite currently there within the market, and we see that. Couples are still going for their traditional three-bed semi-detached or three-bed traditional housing unit. But on top of that, the cost of delivering an apartment, as well documented at this stage, is just not viable.
One other thing then, if the issue is that the teacher and the guard that are the couple can't afford to buy it, and they're stuck in rented accommodation, methinks then, and if rents are going up, that someone would say, aha, I'd become a landlord here, and that investors would come back into the market and they'd buy your houses.
Well, I'd put the situation to you that that would have happened at this point if we had seen some sort of tax relief there for the private landlord. If you look at the private rental sector at the moment, there's huge commentary around it about the private rental sector and investment funds coming in. Now, the truth is that the current market, the private rental, the investment funds are the only game in town to make apartment build viable. You don't see the number of private landlords currently within the industry. And if you, they aren't there to support us. So without that support of the investments, you don't see an apartment and you won't see that move at the requirements of the planning guidelines. I think one possible solution to what we haven't mentioned yet today would be the introduction of a shared or a state-backed shared equity scheme. Within that, you have, it provides a reduced deposit requirement on any given consumer. And the benefits of that, you're taking someone out of rental income. If they can demonstrate over a period of time that they can pay, and the average rent now is 1,400, quite far in excess of that in the greater Dublin area. If I can afford through a state-backed shared equity scheme to get a secure mortgage, and the mortgage repayments might be €1,100, for example, you're saving an extra €300 goes back into the exchequer. You don't have the reliance on the state of a situation where after long-term rental, a couple or an individual, when they're no longer working, after they can't afford to pay that rent, they're gone onto a reliance on the state. So by that state shared equity scheme, it's not a grant, it's a loan. It might be a more efficient use of some of the funds, and the funds can be gathered through VAT pay through the exchequer. And see some of the money that we see currently being spent through social schemes such as the HAP, I think it might be a better use of money to look at that shared equity, and that loan then can be repaid back and can self-fund itself through a system, and that will alleviate a lot of issues we have.
Okay, well, one certainty is that we have a dysfunctional housing market, and that's going to lead to less houses being built, and the housing crisis for those who want private and rented and social housing is all going to get worse instead of better, and I don't see a lot of fresh political thinking on this. James Benson, Director of Housing with the CIF, thank you for joining us.